Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, God. So usually right after Christmas, there's a sense of a finality that everything is over. Some people take their trees down and all those greens that are dropping little things all over your floor and you keep vacuuming, throw those out. However, I would like to remind you that Christmas Day was only the first day of Christmas. Today is the fourth day of Christmas, and I don't remember what my true love gave to me. But I knew that. Do know that the story of Jesus' birth isn't true love, isn't just true love, but amazing true love. The season of Christmas, the story of Christmas, is indeed the greatest story ever told. One of the things that is currently being encouraged, not just by the church, but also by folks directing psychological and spiritual well-being, is that it is important to know, to understand, and to tell your story. That's a big order. Most of our stories are not short stories. They are epic novels. There's a great benefit in knowing and understanding your own story. I think there's a greater benefit to understanding your story in relationship with Jesus' story. How does Jesus' story inform your life? How does Jesus' story inform your story? Some might say that telling our story with Jesus is, well, not really a story, it's more like a testimony. And yes, there is testimony in this truth of telling our story. But the fullness of this story is more than standing up and saying, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This story is more than just proclaiming belief. Christians can't have two separate spiritual stories, one for Monday through Saturday and one for Sunday. And unless we integrate our spiritual story with our historic story, we are fooling ourselves. Yes, we come to church to get energized, to get through the week to come. And we do it to witness to the truth in our hearts and declare, as John's gospel did this morning, that he is the incarnate God. So in thinking about all of this, no doubt you will recognize this. It's a painting by an artist, William Holman Hunt, that depicts Jesus standing at a door that has no doorknob on his side. The person standing on the other side of the door does have a doorknob. In other words, only the person on the other side can open that door and greet Jesus. That person on the other side, according to the artist, is us. You and me. Don't get me wrong, I have nothing against the painting. I think it's very, very sweet. But it encourages us to ask more questions. It encourages us to say, why wouldn't Jesus have a knob? That's a good question. I think he would, but I'll get to that. The idea is that Jesus doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't come into our space, but rather he offers what he has to give with the idea that it is our choice to believe or not, to seek God. The idea that we have to seek Jesus and all that Jesus is leaves it all up to us and doesn't leave any room for Jesus to seek us. It's a two-way relationship. So there are some who say that only Jesus won't come into your life unless you invite him, unless you acknowledge him. And there's some that say you can't have Jesus come into your life unless Jesus wants to. Well, I say all of it personally. This is a gospel according to Barbara. That's all hogwash. I don't understand the idea that Jesus would quietly stand and wait for us to know him. Especially when he burst into the world with such glory, such fanfare, and informed all the world of who he was and why he had come. And then, the power of the crucifixion. Yes, Jesus was at times quiet and pastoral. He was our good shepherd. And while I think Jesus welcomes and invites us into a relationship with him, that Jesus was not a passive presence in the world. If you think about it, the Psalms are a witness to this. The Psalms go all over the place. You have sought me out. I seek you. I love you. You don't love me. You're mad at me. I'm mad at you. All those human emotions come together in the Psalms. It's a struggle that we all face in our walk with Jesus. At least I do. We struggle and we seek and we want to find God. And God often responds, believe. Just believe. Believing and knowing God is not something that's interesting to some people. Some people think there's no point in it. Why would we care whether God was in our lives or not? Well, I certainly care, and I suspect you all do as well. Believing and knowing God is about relationship, and that's part of our story. Now, that doesn't mean that all other things in our life are meaningless, nor does it mean that all the other things in our life are not part of our story. What it does mean is that if we are indeed Christians, our story has to be woven into a fabric of spiritual, intellectual, and moral fiber, held all together with love. Jesus has to fill all the corners of our heart and soul if we are to believe that we can make a change in the world. When we include God as part of our story, we write a bestseller. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches and declares, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open unto you. For everyone who receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks at the door, it will be opened." And yes, we have to turn the knob, so to speak, to meet Jesus. But I'm pretty sure that Jesus doesn't stand around just waiting for us to open that door. And I don't suspect that he's the only one knocking. So when you invited Jesus into your story, how did Jesus come to you? Did he throw the door open and embrace you, or did he open it quietly so as not to frighten you? Did he offer himself and his promise of salvation in a strong outward way, or did he whisper to you that he was indeed the Savior of the world? Or did he, does he, offer both? Yes, today is the fourth day of Christmas, and as I already said, I have no idea what my true love gave to me, but I do have an idea of what my Savior, who truly loves me and came into the world as a wee baby, gave to me. He gave us a journey. We're on that journey to the Epiphany when the wise men come to meet the baby Jesus, although he's really not a baby by the time they get there. This message is important to us because the visiting of the Magi signified that Jesus came for all people, no matter from how far away, no matter what. Jesus came for all. And that is a witness to us. The wise men coming is a witness to us that Jesus came for us as well as the brothers and sisters that we don't like so much. So Epiphany. Epiphany is an aha moment. It's an illuminating moment or understanding. we understand the Epiphany message because we're sitting here today. Frederick Buechner, an interesting theologian some of you might be aware of, said, "The Word became flesh," wrote John, "and dwelt among us full of grace and truth." That is what incarnation means. It is untheological. It is unsophisticated. It is undignified. But according to Christianity, it is the way things are. So let God's light lead you to open the door for Jesus, because he is coming again. Amen. So please stand.